LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
All right, we're back once again. Here we go, everybody. Let's build that energy. Reverend James, hit the music.
Welcome to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, exploring the magical world around us only on the LMC Radio Network. There are so many fantastic, exciting, and curious things that make up this world we share. Come join us as we explore the spiritual, magical, and wondrous phenomena that enrich our souls and bring color to our days. I am your announcer, Reverend James of FolkConjure.com, located in Western North Carolina. This week, we welcome our special guest, the wonderful Brother Christopher of RuneWorker.com in Long Beach, California, bringing us a discussion on techniques for personal empowerment. In just a moment, we'll be joined by our host, Reverend Art of FolkConjure.com in North Carolina, and our guest, Brother Christopher. Make sure you're logged into Blog Talk Radio and join in the discussion via the chat. Now let's catch up with our host. Reverend Art, take it away.
Thank you, Reverend James, and welcome once again to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places. And as always, if it's Monday and we're on the air, that must mean it's Magical Mondays on the Hoodoo Psychics Facebook page. Take a few moments, go on over to the Facebook page for Hoodoo Psychics, drop a comment on their Magic Mondays post, and get entered to win your opportunity for a free 15-minute reading with the Hoodoo Psychic of your choice. You know, Brother Christopher, our guest tonight, is out there on Hoodoo Psychics, as well as myself, Reverend James, JD Hoodoo, Miss Cat, and a whole host of others. We're ready and waiting. So don't miss out on your opportunity. All right. So typical Monday announcements out of the way. Welcome back, everybody. Reverend James, toss it back over to you for a few moments. What new and intriguing things have you been working on?
I don't know, but I think that we need to mention Hoodoo Psychics.
Okay, you just totally threw me off.
All right. I guess you can get back to that in a moment. Not a whole lot. The weather's been kind of weird here. It's been hot and cold, and sometimes during the day it's really warm, sometimes in the evening it's rather chilly. So I don't think that the weather really knows what it's doing here. We actually had our first snow of the season in the higher altitudes above like 3,000 feet. So it was kind of nice to see like the little powdered sugar on the mountains. Other than that, just, you know, chugging along, burning candles, doing readings. If you guys remember, I had mentioned something about a CNC machine quite a few episodes back, and we've been fiddling with that, but that's got a huge learning curve to it.
See, okay, Brother Christopher confirmed it. I knew I'd said something about hoodoo psychics, and he confirmed it, so there. the Magic Mondays post. Yeah, the CNC machine, that is definitely a tool well beyond any technological capacity that I have. Thankfully, Reverend James knows how to program and do all of that fun stuff. For those of you wondering, the CNC machine, you can program it to carve images and different, so like engraving and carving and all kinds of fun stuff in wood and metal and resin and several other different materials depending on the bit that you use. And Troll T asks, what does CNC stand for? Computer Numerical Control, which pretty much tells you how this is all in Reverend James's tool set and not mine. Reverend Art can find pretty pictures. Reverend James can lose his mind trying to figure out how to program those pretty pictures into computer code and put them onto a slab of wood. The final products are phenomenal when they work. But we'll share some pictures out of things. I'll even share out some of our initial attempts at getting this thing programmed in. There are bits for stone and all kinds of different stuff, and it's a lot of fun. You know, we're actually going to, once we get it up and running fully, we have, you know, a lot of ideas for things for altar placement, use in divination, and so many other really cool avenues. So we'll keep you posted on that. But enough about us. Very excited to have the outstanding Brother Christopher rejoining us in the studio tonight. Brother Christopher was one of our first folks joining us here on Mystics and Mages. But I can't believe it's been literally almost 6 months since we last had you on the show, Brother Christopher. What's new in your neck of the woods?
It's been 6 months.
It was like April 17th.
It was this year? Good God. Okay. 2023 has been wild, y'all. What have I been up to? You know, working for clients, lighting candles, doing prayers, making oils, reading candles for ConjureDoctor.com. Recently, I started deep diving into numerology because I was just like, you know, I've done this once, but then I came across some information that I was like, wait, I need to know more about this. So I bought the excellent, what is it titled? The Secret of Numbers Revealed by Godfrey Spencer, Catherine Ironwood, Louis de Clermont, and Dr. Roy Page Walton. And I was like calculating up numbers for that and looking at that information, which was fun. And I'm still kind of contemplating it. And of course, thinking about lucky numbers in that context. And there's information in there about, you know, like, so you have, say, your name number and your birthday number, and then those numbers may also harmonize with other numbers, which could then be other lucky days of the month for you to engage in either gambling or, you know, trying to achieve things through luck for various ends and purposes. Like if you could schedule an interview for a job, for example, you know, you might have a better chance of getting that job if it's on one of your lucky days or a day that harmonizes with your lucky number, stuff like that. So it was a lot of that recently. And then my husband's birthday was this weekend. So we were out bouncing around Los Angeles doing stuff for him and looking into stuff for his interests. And it was very interesting. We went to places that we've been to before, but we were looking at them with sort of a different goal in mind. Because he is making designs for T-shirts and trying to sell it under his own brand. And I like his designs. There's definitely kind of a, I would say, gothic vein to it, the way he designs stuff and his art style and everything. So that's cool. And he's making a bunch of stuff for that, so that's fun. And
sounds like you've had a lot going on.
There's always something bouncing around inside my brain that I'm chasing down on something. Oh, I was it. When I was on the Lucky Mojo Radio Hour, we did like dice divination, and that was beginning of October. And so feeling inspired from that, I found somebody who's selling astrological dice. And so you get a 12-sided dice that has the 12 signs of the zodiac and another 12-sided die that has the 7 classical planets plus the outer planets plus the nodes of the moon, because in some systems those are seen as being planets of sorts. And then another 12-sided die that's just numbered 1 through 12 for each of the houses. And so I was kind of playing with, like, using that and reading that and how that would work. Like, you know, if something comes up in the 12th house, that then is also a zodiac sign and a planet that are, you know, in fall or detriment in the 12th house, you know, that would be like a very solid, no, don't do that. This is not a good idea. Don't pursue that. I was like, oh, okay. So that was fun.
That sounds very cool. And, you know, I'll definitely be looking at your Facebook page for some photos of the new dice. That I'm very much intrigued. I don't think I've seen these. And Reverend James and I, we do travel fairly extensively up and down the East Coast and visiting as many metaphysical shops and, you know, other small businesses that we can support along the way. And I don't recall ever seeing this set. Are you familiar with them, James?
I put a link in the chat of something that's similar.
Of course you did. he's always one step
Actually,
ahead.
That might be, let me see here. Let me follow that link and see where it goes. That is very similar. There's only one picture though. Mine are kind of, the ones that I got were all kind of like glittery or swirly, with different like blues and greens and kind of celestial or galaxy colors.
Very cool.
But yeah, those kind of die.
Those, and then the next time we do a reading palooza, you can jump in and join us and share those with the world.
One way I see it is kind of a way of generating a astrological chart, but without actually having to look to the sky. So it's kind of divorced from actual like visual astrology, but you could use it to generate a chart to answer a question. If you were skilled enough in doing that. And that's another thing. I kind of have somebody who is being a, who is petitioning to be a student of mine. And so I'm just kind of giving him books to read to get started with and everything. And he is also very much into astrology, and so I recommended the Renaissance Astrology course to him, and he signed up for it, and he's diving into it, and he seems to be
very nice.
Liking it. But he's also finding it frustrating because he didn't know that much about astrology beforehand. So there's terminology and symbols and stuff that is just kind of throwing him off, unfortunately.
Well, you know, one of the things, and it kind of harkens back to what you were saying about, you know, when you mentioned the Secret of Numbers Revealed, put out by the Lucky Mojo company. You know, the Lucky Mojo books, definitely, they are such a foundational series of books. And at the moment you mentioned astrology, you know, my brain went right back to this year's Astrology for Root Workers book that Miss Kat shared and was out with the Hoodoo Heritage Festival this year. You know, the way these books just distill down these individual topics is phenomenal and really are a phenomenal just informational source on their own and provide just an outstanding framework to be able to reach out further from. So might want to share a copy of the Astrology for Root Workers with your end and see if that helps. It definitely helped distill it down for me. And I'm sitting here looking at this link that Reverend James shared for the astrological dice. And I think I'm going to be ordering myself a set and busting out my copy of Astrology for Root Workers and seeing what I can do. This is the most astrology scares me because, as with my technical abilities, math, the math side of astrology petrifies me. But,
I mean, it's be glad that you're not having to learn astrology like in the 80s. Or even the 90s, because that was before sort of like computer programs and astrology apps existed, where in order to draw a chart, you actually had to do, like, I believe it was basically straight up algebra and have an ephemera to like start just to like, you know, get the basic positions and numbers of things. And then you would take that and have to plug it into formulas to tell you, you know, at this time, at this date, this planet is in this house, you know, it's above the horizon, it's below the horizon, it's moving so fast. All these details that now, like, you know, there's free shareware that can do astrology charts for you. That's pretty good. You know, you need to pay attention to say, like, if it's daylight savings time or not in the United States, but that's about it. And it can give you a whole chart for the day. You can do elections to look ahead for, like, you know, beneficial times if you know what to look for. So, like, it's modern astrology in a sense has become very non-mathematical in that sense, because you don't actually have to do all of those complex calculations anymore. You can just go to a website, enter in your birthday, your birth time, and the location of where you were born, and instant birth chart within, you know, a few seconds.
And there's been several apps that I know have been talked about over the course of several different shows that for astrology as well, but I don't know. There's just something about the astrology in its entirety that, you know, I almost would rather go back to college and do calculus longhand. that's the level of respect I give for astrology. It can be intense.
Yeah, and it's a lot. It can be a lot to, like, have to take in. And yeah, oof. I mean, especially like kind of those astrology memes that are really popular on social media in some circles, where people put together just images that are supposed to describe the combination of, you know, your rising and your sun sign and your moon sign. And lately I've been seeing things even going to like, and your Venus and your Mars and your Mercury, and they're adding, you know, they're doing like fall themed, or, you know, your Gothic sun sign, or even stuff is, what is it? They'll take pop culture references and they'll assign planetary signs and stuff to, say, like The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, or what's another one? Like that's very entertaining. And sometimes I look at them and I'm just like, I feel this was trying to go in for something, but it missed the mark because of just the way that I understand that combination personally. But like, they're still very entertaining, and it's not sort of like a light way to get into astrology without it being overwhelming, and kind of understand sometimes when people talk about, you know, oh, Venus is in your second house, that, you know, and it's located in Cancer, so this could mean X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, I think we must be in a few different Facebook groups, because most of the astrology references I see are like cats dressed as Harry Potter figures or Harry Potter characters that are attributed to the different signs of the zodiac.
Yeah.
I also, you know,
I've seen that. Yeah.
I love those. All right. Well, you know, I do want to make sure that we have enough time for our topic for tonight. I think this would be a great spot to jump in with some station announcements, and we'll be right back with Brother Christopher and Techniques for Personal Empowerment.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurement, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays 4 to 5:30. The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voigt, Tuesdays 4 to 5. The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays. And The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LaFay, in syndication, Thursdays. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted rootworker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO. Or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Thank you to all of our sponsors, and back to you, Reverend Art.
Thank you, Reverend James. And, you know, Brother Christopher and James and I were talking before the show came on the air today about, you know, we've done multiple shows here on Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places about, you know, building your spiritual business, shadow work for personal growth, you know, soul retrieval, building a spiritual community. And when Brother Christopher brought this topic for tonight, the techniques for personal empowerment, it truly, it fit in very well with the themes that that we've been sharing over the course of our time here on the LMC Radio Network. So very excited to get into this with you today, Brother Christopher. I'll let you take it away.
Okay. I kind of have a list here of things that I wanted to talk about and bring up, you know, of things that I found personally helpful in my own kind of journey for empowerment, and especially like spiritual and magical methods of empowering myself. And so I'll start from the beginning, and I'm sort of starting with things that are stuff you can do right now that doesn't necessarily need tools or items or curios that are, you know, accessible to anybody who's just looking for a beginning point, a starting point. And so the first thing I want to bring up is meditation. And by meditation, I mean a practice where you focus and concentrate on something. So you put all of your attention and focus onto something. It could be internal, it could be external, but you just focus that time. And you may start with like 5 minutes a day and then build up until you can do it for like 15 minutes, 20 minutes. I usually do it for 15 minutes. And that, developing that kind of focus and realizing when you've lost that focus and then being able to bring it back, it can really help you or help somebody to sort of cut through the distractions and stuff that may keep you from achieving the things you want to achieve and being able to work on the things you want to work on. Because, you know, let's say you want to, trying to think of an example, you want to paint, you want to be a painter, but you're trying to make it through life, and so you have a day job where you're a waiter somewhere, and, you know, you get up and, you know, fortunately you only have to do it for 8 hours a day, but when you come home, you're just exhausted and tired, and so you don't sit down in front of your canvas and easel and paint. So if you just start meditating, just a little bit, 5 minutes, try to get that focus. Developing that focus can help you see and find where you might recognize you're like, yeah, you may be tired, but you're not so tired, you're not so exhausted that you realize that like painting can help you. And if you sit down and you paint, even if it's just for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes, like you're now moving closer to your goal. But at the same time, like meditation, it just helps you cut out distractions from your mind. And, you know, those nagging thoughts, the idea of imposter mentality, oh, you know, I can't do this, I'm not really this. You learn to be able to push them aside and be like, you know what, I can do this. I can become this. I'm not limited just because, you know, I don't have X, Y, or Z. It can help you recognize if you're like caught in a perfectionist mentality where you refuse to move forward on something because it's not going to be perfect.
May have been guilty of that a few times myself.
myself as well. Yeah. And so it's like when you kind of develop this mental strength and resilience that, you know, it can help you really push through and overcome, you know, the nagging thoughts, the doubts, the worries over nothing and be able to like, and it really does empower you. And I started practicing meditation on a daily basis. I never really keep track of the days. It was back in my late 20s, so like 2008, 2007. So, you know, at the beginning, the results aren't always there, But I can say, like, after doing it for 30 days every single day, when I look back after that, I was just like, oh, wait, things about me have totally changed, where it's like stuff that used to really bother me or upset me or I'd get distressed about, I don't get distressed about it anymore because it's not really something that I need to worry about. It'll take care of itself. Like, you know, if it's beyond my control, it's beyond my control. If it's something I can take action on, then I'll recognize it and I'm not going to worry about it. And I'll just figure out the action that I do and I need to do and when I need to do it, and I'll do it. And that is a sense of power. So
very much.
The next part.
You know, before we move on, I do want to say, I want to thank you for sharing the aspect of, a lot of people have the misconception about meditation being, you know, I'm unable to clear my mind, so I can't meditate. That is not the case. And a lot of what you described, you know, when I'm working with my clients, my coaching clients, you know, I call it meditation for manifestation, where, you know, you meditate on what you're focusing on. You start to notice those distractions as they come in and how to fend those off. And as you build that meditation, translate into the physical action. Just the painting example was actually a perfect example. You know, you can sit there, you meditate, you focus on it, you build that energy around that. And despite how tired you may be from a full day's work, or, you know, even when you get a day off, you're so exhausted, you're like, you know what, I ain't doing nothing. You find that energy within yourself to be able to bring these things to manifest in your life. I'm really glad you shared that aspect of meditation. 5 minutes a day. Start with 2 minutes a day. Start with 1 minute a day. If you can.
If 5 minutes sounds too long, try it for 1 minute. Like, you'd be surprised how long 1 minute can be. Like, yeah, if to anybody who's listening, like, if you've never meditated before, 1 minute, it sounds so fast, but if you try and sit there and meditate for 1 minute, and your body and your mind will assail you with so many distractions that you probably don't ever really pay attention to, but they still distract you.
It's insane
When you clue into that, you're just going to be like, whoa, this is, wow, okay, dang, like, you know, and honestly, I feel like some other forms of meditation don't necessarily address that. Because I know I've practiced other types of meditation as well, where it's kind of, you kind of get into like a trance-like state and you kind of space out and disassociate from where you are in your body and stuff. And that can be really interesting, and you can, you know, kind of develop connections that you maybe might have never thought of, and it can be very intense spiritual experiences where you need, you know, if you're into working with gods and spirits, you might meet those gods and spirits while you're doing it. Whereas, like, the single focus meditation of trying to, you know, eliminate distractions, when those kind of beings or entities show up, you're supposed to ignore them because they might show up. Like, people do talk about them, like, oh, I was trying to meditate and I was focusing my mind on this, you know, on this spot on the wall that I focus on. And all of a sudden, you know, the great goddess Diana appeared before me and was trying to tell me stuff. And it was just like, yeah, ignore her. She's a distraction. Like, maybe it is really her. Most likely it could also just be your brain trying to prevent you from trying to concentrate, because it doesn't really want you to do that. which is such a strange thing, but it's true. I find it interesting that in a lot of images from Tibetan Buddhism, where various bodhisattvas are riding upon dragons, or, you know, there's a monkey that is beneath them, or a tiger that is also their steed. And in some of the writings I've read about various forms of Tibetan Buddhist meditation, is that these are all animals that are associated with the mind. And sometimes the mind is like a monkey, where it's just, it wants to play, and it's oh shiny, oh pretty, you know, squirrel. And it chases after that. But other times the mind is like a tiger or a dragon, where it's ferocious and angry and terrifying, and, you know, and it's assailing you with images that are meant to upset you or scare you or, you know, make you tremble, but it's all just a distraction. And these bodhisattvas, like, you know, in a certain sense, they're keyed to conquering those types of mental states that are trying to distract you. So if a bodhisattva is riding on a dragon, then that's the bodhisattva to kind of focus on when your mind is really trying to fill you with, like, primordial fear and almost supernatural terror, whereas, you know, the tiger is more of kind of human terrors and worries and you know, the risk of dying and the ferociousness of beasts and how terrible existence can be. And that bodhisattva can help you conquer that. Whereas if the bodhisattva is kind of in charge of a monkey, then it can help you not be distracted by that playful, always seeking, wanting new stimulation and being so easily distracted by shiny, interesting things that are, you know, all around you. I mean, I'm sure most people can imagine a time when they had to sit down to, say, write a paper for an assignment when they were in school, and before they got even down to sit down in front of their typewriter or write it out longhand back in the day, you know, they had to clean their room and organize it and set it in, and because, you know, anything that was out of place in the room or was interesting, it was a distraction from trying to write that paper. And it would just, you know, it would seize your mind, or you would just start playing with it, and you couldn't do anything until you finally put it down and put it in its place and organized everything, so that way you could then focus, and then your paper might fall into place. But then when you realize after you finish all this, it's like midnight, and now you're having to, you know, fight off exhaustion and a mental fog that comes with that in order to get this paper written, and kind of that monkey mind.
I may have been guilty of that as well myself several times. You know, and actually Balkan Divider in the chat brought up a couple great points on meditation as well. You know, is to really – a lot of people do have difficulty meditating, and not every form of meditation is appropriate for every individual. You know, he mentions on here about, you know, for him, he likes to use different breathing techniques to help him focus, and also to make sure to ground, which, you know, grounding yourself can be something as simple as just walking outside. This is something like I will just share, you know, I personally hate shoes. I love walking out in the grass, through the yard, through fields, what have you, and just connecting with nature. That in and of itself is a meditation. And Balkan Diviner asks an interesting question about religious beliefs. Are religious beliefs in magic inevitably highly connected? And while I think that's a little bit off from Tation per se, I just want to throw out there, from my perspective, magic predates religion. Religion organized or attempted to organize to control magic. And that's one of the things with the New Age, quote-unquote, movements and such, that there is a stronger impetus to being to decentralizing magic and giving it back to the people and allowing the people to achieve their, well, that I guess this, now this does lead right back to personal empowerment. So I just wanted to, go ahead.
I mean, no, because you were mentioning how kind of the New Age wants to decentralize and kind of take the magic out of organized religion. And in that sense, it kind of restores the power and re-empowers people to, you know, connect more personally and directly with spirit, with God or gods or spirits or your spirit guides or however you want to see it and work it. And because religion, you know, sort of systematizes it and sets it, you know, it's like, here's where these things are. And if it's a religion that has priests, then it's like the priests act as go-betweens. And then, you know, you have the everyday-to-day people. And I feel like, you know, for centuries, that was a really effective model. But it seems like now, you know, people want to do it on their own and not be reliant on other people to provide them with that spiritual connection and not have to look to a priest and not have to look to set models. Although, I mean, like, I personally find that the models that I'm drawn to work really well for me, but I'm not drawn to, say, every model that other people are interested in.
Right.
I mean, you know, I was raised in a Christian environment, and certain things about Protestant and evangelical Christianity just don't really vibe with me. The particular church I was raised in was very not ritualistic, not as anti-ritualistic as, say, the Quakers are. Because I've been to a Quaker meeting, and that was a fight to stay awake. I'll be honest. Because you just sit there in silence until somebody feels inspired to talk. And then that's it. And it's like, oh, okay.
Being from Pennsylvania, I've experienced that myself.
Yeah. And nobody talks, and it's a whole lot of really quiet silence. And at the time that I went to a Quaker meeting, I hadn't started meditating yet, because otherwise that's what I would have been doing had I known better. It would have, towards the end I was like, I was having to pinch myself to stay awake. And
all right. So what was, I know I kind of jumped back into the meditation. So what is your next tip for?
So my next tip, again, working with stuff that is very accessible, and although this again is, some people may find it less accessible, although there are workarounds for that, is using visualization in order to empower yourself. And I actually have two sort of visualization recipes. And these two recipes, I find they work together. And in this sense, it is, the first one is about breaking those restrictions and limitations that are holding you back. And then the second part is then really about filling yourself with power and recognizing that power and setting that up so you feel that and shape it within you more strongly. And so the first visualization is you see yourself bound by ropes and chains. And these ropes and chains are the expression of things internal and external that are holding you back, that restrain you and restrict you and keep you from being able to achieve what you want to achieve. And so take several deep breaths and relax. And as you breathe and continue to breathe, you should see and feel this energy surging up inside of you from your stomach and rising to your heart, where it starts to grow and kind of like a pressure cooker, it begins to get to develop more and more pressure building and building until when you finally feel it reaching a peak and it then explodes out from your heart and it shreds the ropes and it breaks the chains and sends them flying out into the void away from it. And so, of course, if a visual thing is not your thing, you could try to settle this in sensation. You could try to just feel the ropes and chains. You could even get a rope or a chain and just kind of wrap it around yourself loosely to get that sensation and then carry that with you and try and hold that sensation until you finally feel yourself breaking it off. And then the second half of this is then this energy now flows up throughout your body, filling every fiber of your being, from your head to your toes, down to your arms, to your hands, just all around you. And as it flows out and forms itself around you, it takes the shape of clothing that for you signifies power, authority, and respect. So maybe it appears as a three-piece suit of a, you know, a very capable and powerful businessman. Maybe it's a military uniform of like a general or a captain, you know, somebody who can issue commands and have people follow it. Maybe it's something you saw in a TV show of a person who is in charge, or somebody to you that, you know, maybe it's the fantasy outfit of a queen or a king or a wizard or a sorcerer that you saw in some sort of media that just said, wow, this person has power, this person has, you know, the chutzpah to be able to do what they want. And so you see this energy forms that shape around you into these clothing, and it makes you feel and say as though I'm the boss, I'm in charge, you will respect me. And even further, just slightly around that, is kind of a shimmer of gold, like a golden aura that surrounds you. And you're standing now on a dais, raised up slightly from the crowds around you, being able to see over their heads in an elevated position that commands respect and authority. And you're also beyond the reach of low opinions and bad attitudes. And this energy continues to to radiate out from you until it forms these clear walls that block unwanted and harmful influences directed at you, whether intentionally or unintentionally, allowing you to see out and see what you want to do, but keeping the negative opinions and negative attitudes and jealousy and envy and, you know, potential hatred of people from actually being able to reach you and affect you. And you just hold that visualization and then go about your day or your night or whatever it is you're going to do. And so the first half of the visualization, you're breaking off things that have been holding you back and you're freeing yourself from these restrictions. And then the second half is now you're building yourself up to have that power and to have that and to feel that empowerment more specifically in multiple ways, but also to feel that power as well as being a protection that keeps the restraints and restrictions from coming back on you from people outside of you.
You know, so, one of the things that I love that you shared on visualization, because yet again, much like meditation, visualization is something a lot of people struggle with. You know, it can be a learned to add to your toolbox. But I love how you mentioned you know, when talking about being tied up and bound, you know, to take a rope and such, and, you know, loosely to wrap that around you. Feel that sensation, experience that sensation, and log that so that you're able to reimagine that and bring that back to the forefront of your mind in the various situations that you, I mean, from today till the day we die, that we're all going to have multiple situations where we feel like, you know, quote unquote, our hands are tied or we're bound, and we're, you know, you can build these visualization tools. One thing that I recommended also to one of my clients was, and you'll see these paintings on walls in different cities all over the world, where people just paint like angel wings on the side of a building or butterfly wings. And one of the things that we were working on was visualization of, you know, letting her ideas fly, you know, going with these really outstanding ideas. And part of that was what we were working on was visualizing her in flight. Could not do it. I'm like, you know what? Find you a pair of these wings on a side of a building. If you can't find one, paint some wings on the side of a building, hopefully some building you own, and have somebody take a picture of you standing in front of it so that the wings are coming off of you. And it became one of her most powerful visualization tools.
Yeah, I can see that. There's a lot of those murals here in the greater Los Angeles area. They were very popular as a Instagrammable thing, like, I want to say 2018, 2019. And so, you know, it's like, and I want to say the first one ever painted that got people, like, want to take pictures of it, I think it was actually in like, downtown Los Angeles somewhere. And, you know, people went nuts for it. And so all sorts of places started painting wings on the walls of their buildings. That way people, when they visit, would take a picture. And, you know, over the wings, it might say the location. And so it was kind of like free advertising. But, yeah, if you can get a picture like that and use that to help you visualize yourself having, you know, wings in order to fly high and do all sorts of stuff associated with flying. Yeah, definitely. That is definitely comes with, yeah. Too many words, not enough thoughts. Or too many thoughts, not enough words.
it's like a Willy Wonka moment. Scratch that, reverse.
Yeah. But, I mean, I definitely sort of have this practice where I visualize myself having wings, along with other things that are all kind of tied into a deeper empowerment practice that is related to kind of invoking gods in a sense. But this is more of like an invoking an angel kind of thing for me. Which I'm going to sort of talk about is another one of the techniques. We brought it up. And although in this particular case, I'm focusing it on a concept called the angel of your natal chart. And since we were talking about astrology previously, one of the things that is present in Western astrology and connected to it is the divining of the nature of the angel or the good spirit of your natal horoscope. And the main goal of this is to suss out what planet kind of rules that spirit and thus describes the nature of that spirit. And there's quite a number of methods of figuring out what this is. Some are much more complicated than others. And for the purposes of today, I decided to describe a more simple one, but you can find these online. And there are some astrologers that will also calculate it for you that have the methods to do that. I think the program I use can actually calculate out, you know, what is the planet that rules your chart, which then describes the planet that rules this, the natal, the good angel, or the angel of the good spirit of your chart. But a simple way to do this is if you can look at your natal chart and you look up the sign that rules your 11th house. Because in Hellenic astrology, the name of the 11th house was the Agathodaimon, or the good spirit. And so the sign that rules this house has a ruling planet, and the planet that rules that sign is the planet whose nature embodies the good spirit of your chart. And so say if your 11th house ruler is Libra, then Venus describes the nature of your good spirit. If the ruler was Capricorn, then Saturn is the nature of the good spirit of your chart. And so once you know that planet, you can then start to reach out and call that spirit more closely into your life. And knowing the nature of the planet, you start on the planetary day and in the planetary hour to kind of pray to connect with that spirit more. And my personal preferred method of doing that is to take a colored candle that corresponds with the planet and anoint it with planetary oil and burn some planetary incense of the planet. Either, you know, a simple incense that, say, if it was Saturn, then you might burn myrrh. If it was Venus, then you might burn rose incense. Or you can buy a complex incense blend that's available for sale in various places. I believe Lucky Mojo has some planetary incense available, because I know they have planetary oils. And so while you're praying, you would burn that. And then you also set out an offering of just a glass of clean water. And you can pray just about anything. You could free form the prayer. There are a body of, there's a body of literature called the Orphic Hymns that are dedicated to various gods, which are, you know, the names of the planets come from. So there's an Orphic Hymn to Venus that you could pray on the day and the hour of Venus, while burning a green candle dressed with Venus oil and burning some Venus incense. And, you know, with the intention being of calling this benevolent, this good spirit more closely into your life. And you could even pray to the archangel of the day. So, for example, if Sunday was your day, then in the day and hour of the sun, you could pray to the archangel Michael, asking him to bring this good spirit to you. As Michael is the archangel that rules the sun. And so you'd repeat this every week at the same day and the same hour until you get a response. And what that response might be, it can vary wildly. It might come as a vision. It might come as a dream. It might just come as, like, you would just know. Like, you might hear, you might have a clairaudient experience where a voice answers you and says, you know, I'm here. And you just start talking to this spirit and asking it for help and ask it to bless you and empower you and help you achieve your goals, because that's what this spirit is about, is to assist you in this. And it might come as advice. It might come as a direction to perform a certain task. It can take lots of forms. It could be just about anything, honestly. In a certain sense, if you're familiar with the knowledge and conversation of the Holy Guardian Angel, yes, these are very similar. In a certain sense, one could say that the Holy Guardian Angel is also the spirit of your natal chart, but they're not as directly tied, because whoever wrote the Book of Abramelin was kind of anti-astrology for some reason, but this kind of spirit guide and guardian that is personal and specific has been around for a while and has taken various forms and, you know, different words are used for it. Like I said, in the Greek, the name for this was the Agatha Daemon, which literally translates to, like, the good spirit. And so you can empower yourself with the aid of this spirit to help you achieve your goals and, you know, be stronger.
Excellent.
And approach things in a different way.
Excellent.
And then there's also a sort of an opposite of this working, which I would recommend don't attempt this until you get the aid of this good spirit to assist you with it. But your natal horoscope also defines an evil spirit who causes you problems and afflicts you with troubles specific to you. And just as there are many ways to figure out the nature of the good spirit, there are equal number of ways to figure out the nature of this evil spirit. And similarly, in Hellenic astrology, as they recognized that the 11th house was the house of the good spirit, the 12th house of your horoscope was also titled the house of the evil spirit, or in Greek, the kakodemon. And so if you know the planet that rules the 12th house, then you know the nature of the evil spirit. However, unlike the good spirit, where you're trying to attract its influences in, you want to play to the weaknesses of the evil spirit in order to bind it and control it and limit its abilities to cause you problems. And so if you know the nature, let's say Mars is the planet that rules your evil spirit and is the ruler of the 12th house. You actually have some choices in how you want to, you can play to the weaknesses of this spirit. Mars is directly opposed by Venus in astrological literature, and so you could choose Venus day and hour to perform this work. But Mars is also opposed by Saturn, because whereas Mars is hot and fiery and dry, Saturn and very active, Saturn is cold and dry and earthy and very passive. And Saturn is also known for being effective at binding and restraining things and limiting them. So you could use Venus to bind it, and, you know, whereas Mars is hot and fiery, Venus is cool and also kind of wet and calming. And so that's how Venus kind of opposes Mars in its aspect. And so you could use those to work against the nature of Mars. Or say, if Saturn was the planet that describes the nature of your evil spirit, well, then you can't really use Saturn to bind itself, because that doesn't make any sense. But Mars could also be used to bind Saturn. Again, you're using this hot and fiery thing in order to limit the dry, the cold, and the passive. But the sun is also hot and fiery, and it also shines light, whereas Saturn is associated with darkness. But the moon also shines light, and the moon is fast-moving and changeable, whereas Saturn is slow and very static and not as changeable. And so, you know, depending upon the planet, you have options, and some planets may have more options than others. And it also could just be a personal preference if you know these things, or if you get help from an astrologer, or you could do a reading on it to try and, you know, suss out which option might be the best for you.
You know, that's a whole new use of charts. I had honestly never heard until now. I've been kind of just sitting here fascinated, listening along with everyone else.
It's not talked about a whole lot. Like, it's definitely there in the literature, like, you know, but I feel like it kind of gets glossed over, because from my perspective, a lot of people who are pure astrologers, they don't like to deal with the magic and spellcraft stuff. They are very fatalist in that they see that it's like whatever astrology says is how it's going to be, and you can't change it and you can't alter it. And so they don't want to do rituals because of that. And so they also tend to be anti-astrology talisman and anti-astrological magic, because that sort of sounds like you could potentially change your fate or change how things are going to work out if you do, you know, a petition to Venus when she's in Libra and the day and hour of Venus and she happens to be at the midheaven and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And the hardcore astrology diviners are like, no, thank you. No, we don't want to do that. And so they tend to not talk about it. And so with binding this evil spirit, some methods of computation may give you a name, but you can also use a generic identifier such as the evil spirit of my natal chart or my personal devil or however you want to identify it. Write it down on a piece of paper, its name, however you want to name it, and then turn it counterclockwise 90 degrees and write your name over it crosswise so it is covered completely. And then fold that paper up to a small square, and you want to take some softened wax, like beeswax or paraffin, and form a little ball around it and put some chips of Haijon the Conqueror root, Calamus root, and some pieces of knotweed to form a ball around it. And the Haijon, the Calamus, and the knotweed are all meant to help you to control and dominate this spirit, so it's under your control. And then take some colored string in the binding planet's color and anoint it with the oil of that binding planet and start wrapping that string in a ball around the wax ball. And if you're familiar with making a jack ball, it's kind of like that, is what I'm describing. If not,
okay,
it's something you kind of got to, it's hard to describe. And you just kind of wrap it like maybe a yarn ball. Like you just wrap things and you just keep wrapping it at different angles and it just turns into a ball. And then you tie it off. And you might have a little extended loop that you use then to like hang this ball from like off a finger on your hand. But then you're going to take a candle in the color of the binding planet that you've anointed with the binding planet's planetary oil. And you're going to light that candle and you're going to drip that wax on the ball on the string until it's covered again in that colored wax, further sealing it in the power of that planet. And once it's a solid ball of colored wax, you can then store it in a place that is associated with that planet or with sort of sealing it and restraining it and binding it. For example, a Mars spirit, you could treat it like a freezer spell, and you could put the ball into a freezer or put it into, you know, a container of water and then stick that into the freezer so it freezes. So that way you get that cold and that thing that steals out the heat and fire of Mars and binds it. And you could do a similar thing with the spirit of the sun, but then you might also want to put it into a black container that is sealed against light and keep it inside the freezer or in a cool, dark place so that way the light and heat of the evil solar spirit is kept restrained. Or with another example of, say, if Venus was the ruler, then you might want to put it into a metal box that was used for gun ammunition or for knives, because that is the signs of Mars and of war and of violence. And it's like metal and steel, which is contrary to sort of the spirit of Venus. And then again, put it in the dark and keep it in a place that is kind of ugly and doesn't have music or beauty or art or flowers or pleasant smells or, you know, away from where social gatherings might occur. So, I mean, like, in my mind, I was kind of picturing, like, not a garden shed, but just, like, a storage shed that's dirty and neglected. Or you could put it in a basement that is, you know,
maybe
unfinished.
Like a root
or a root cellar, yeah. And all of that is meant to minimize and reduce the influence of the evil spirit, but also place it under your control. So if problems arise, you're more able to resolve it because you have more control over the evil spirit that is trying to mislead you and deceive you and trick you and, you know, keep you away.
That is some excellent, excellent stuff right there. I hope everyone was taking notes. I was. And I have follow-up questions for possibly another show.
Okay.
That really was, honestly, Brother Christopher, that was awesome.
Thank you. I got the inspiration from someone else who did something similar, but they were more, in a sense, astrologically minded, and they had access to materials that I didn't have access to, which was they were using molten lead. And I forget how they wrote the name of the spirit on something. I forget what it was. I think it was like a sheet of metal, a small sheet of metal. And then they took that sheet of metal and they suspended it inside a container and then poured molten lead all over on top of it until it was sealed inside the lead, basically. And then they took that piece of lead and they stored it in the freezer, and that's how they bound their evil spirit. And I was like, I could do that with, you know, wax and herbs and stuff. Like, oh, this will be great. And so I was just like, you know, I got the information that I needed and I put it all together and I did that whole working myself. And and to be honest, right after I did that, I did find that a lot of difficulties in my life kind of just went away. Like some people who just didn't like me. And it was like, you know, when you meet somebody and they just don't like you and you're like, I didn't do anything to you. Like,
right.
Like a lot of those people, it's not like they started liking me, but they stopped being such active haters. Like somehow the evil spirit of my natal chart was just kind of like, not necessarily bringing these people into my life, but was working on them to make them, you know, like strongly opposed enemies to me. But then with its ability restrained and pulled back, all of a sudden, you know, it's like people who before were really kind of, you know, put off by me, all of a sudden were less put off. I don't know how to explain it. But also just like some obstacles just kind of evaporated, as well as, you know, like with the sense of with the assistance of the good spirit helping me, other things within inside myself also just became easier once that evil spirit was also bound and was less able to kind of afflict me with, you know, kind of having me think bad thoughts.
Yeah, the influences.
Yeah. Of like, you know, planting that seed of doubt or, you know, that whisper of, you know, of thinking, oh, this person is out to get me, when really they're not. Like, this person doesn't even know I exist. They don't care. So why am I worrying about them? They're not an issue. Or, you know, other stuff like that. And so it was definitely beneficial for me. But like I said, like, you definitely want the aid of your good spirit before engaging
Makes
in
sense.
This. As the good spirit can help you, in a sense, battle and bind the evil spirit of your chart and bring it unto bring it under your control and sway when it's necessary.
That's just the perfect blend of divination and spell work all together, and right with the empowerment, the self-empowerment of that. I hats off on that one. Definitely.
Thank you.
I'm just total goosebumps.
We have roughly
about 12 minutes left, just so I can, I just wanted to let you know, because this is such fantastic stuff. I didn't want you to get cut off.
Okay. These other sections are a little bit shorter. One thing that I used was a power mojo that I used for a really long time. And I just want to say, what can be a power mojo is very open to interpretation. For example, there's a description of a mojo for a person who's new to spiritual stuff described in The White and Black Magic of Marie Laveau. And it's got like a black cat bone and a lodestone and I think like two or three other ingredients. I can't remember off the top of my head, and I didn't think to pull it out of my library. But that always struck me as kind of like, oh, this would make a good power mojo, you know, for someone. But one that I personally used for many years that I loved was using a combination of High John the Conqueror, Queen Elizabeth root, and Angelica root. And for me, I saw the High John as giving me the power to overcome obstacles and sort of conquer what I needed to. The Queen Elizabeth empowered me to be able to be persuasive and diplomatic when that would serve as the optimal means of success. And then the Angelica root was to draw benevolent spirits to me who could aid me in all my endeavors. So in whatever I was doing, you know, if I was needing to, you know, overcome stuff, or if I was needing to just be, you know, persuasive and sweet, I would have spirits who could aid me in either way that were drawn by the Angelica root. And I anointed it all with Master Key oil, I believe. And it worked really well for me. And over time, I actually would start to add other roots as I was able to acquire them until I got to 13 roots. But then at that point, that bag was a little bit too big and unwieldy to be carrying around all the time. And so I still have it, and it mainly sits in a box on my altar and I'll take it out and I'll anoint the roots or feed the bag with it sometimes. But I don't have to replace the bag so often because it's not really getting beaten up. But just a John the Conqueror, Queen Elizabeth, and Angelica root, those are really great for me. I knew a friend who was into this stuff, and he actually made a bag using High John, Low John, and Little John to chew as his power bag, because he wanted like a manly masculine bag. And I think this is also described in Hoodoo Urban Root Magic by Catherine Ironwood, of like the three John bag. And you know, it's suggested for men, but anybody can use it if that's the kind of power that they're looking for. And those three Johns kind of actually encapsulate like all aspects of life, with High John being, you know, kind of strength and power to conquer. Low John is associated with drawing love, because it's also called Dixie John or Beth Root, and it's known for bringing love to situations. So it's kind of, you know, a way to enchant and persuade and use charm and charisma. And then the Little John, which is also known as court case root, which is the longal root, which you would chew, and it has a taste that is similar to ginger. And thus it was said from my impression of this is that basically it helps you with your speech and how people hear and respond to what you're saying because of that, you know, the sort of the fiery ginger flavor that Galangal has. And so carrying around a Little John to Chew root in this root bag is to help, like, help you make you more influential and successful in how you talk to people and convey ideas, and it makes them more drawn to and interested in what you're saying and what you're doing and how you're
more receptive.
So more receptive. So it's like those are all kind of potential things. I don't think I ever came across a similar one for women per se, unfortunately. Although I could imagine like Queen Elizabeth, a Low John, but then I couldn't think of a third female root. Although, what was? Oh, there's maybe Angelica root, because it's associated with helping women. Can't remember. But you know, or maybe there's one. I don't think I ever came across one in Hoodoo Urban Root Magic, but maybe somebody else has come up with one in another Lucky Mojo book that I haven't read yet.
Definitely.
Time.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to dig into that and circle back.
And then related to roots in, you know, on top of making a mojo bag, you could also make a personal power oil. And so you would use one of those roots or some other roots that I've used and found good is like Solomon seal root, which is for wisdom. Because, you know, as Solomon gained everything by asking for wisdom, so can you. If you can make the right choice and think about things in the most effective way and be able to kind of cut through the bullshit mentally, you know, you can really empower yourself to be stronger and better. And so the way you kind of make this personal power oil is, so you pick a root for power and then find a fragrance that appeals to you. This could be essential oils that you like, you know, let's say lavender is your thing. It could also be a cologne or perfume because alcohol does mix with oils in kind of smallish amounts. Like, you know, don't go crazy, but like if you were to put, say, a milliliter of a favorite fragrance into a half-ounce bottle and then mix that with oil, that oil will take on the fragrance from the alcohol. And it'll blend into it. And you add that root to it, and you let it steep for 9 days. And during the 9 days, you shake it each day and pray over it, or call up the spirit of the root, or call in blessings from spirit guides or the gods. And then on the 9th day, you can use this oil to empower yourself, just to empower yourself. And this is your personal power oil that, you know, is giving you the power that you want to achieve your goals. And I recommend anointing your whole body with it. You could do it at pulse points or on chakra points or major acupuncture points. Any of those are good that I find to just kind of dab a little oil on, and it gives a little fragrance to your body so you smell good. And it also, you know, it's just kind of empowering with, you know, whatever power it is that you chose. And of course you could also, like, you could also personalize an oil, say like Master Key or King Solomon's Wisdom or Power Oil or Master Oil. You know, you could add your own personal concern to that if you're not comfortable with mixing stuff. And you just pray over that for 9 days after adding, you know, like a piece of your hair. Adding just like a single hair to it and using that to personalize the oil to you and then anointing your body with it especially if you like the smell of the oil, like Master Key oil. Oh my God, the first time I ever bought a bottle of that and smelled it, that is amazing. I love the smell of Master Key. It's great. Like, maybe it's not everybody's choice, but I highly recommend it. And then you just use that to anoint those pulse points or chakra points or acupuncture points, and points will help draw on that energy of that power oil to empower you to achieve what you want to achieve and do what you want to do.
That is outstanding. You know, I mean, we've gone through so much, and I'm sure we haven't even reached the pinnacle of the list that you had for tonight. You know, just from the meditation to the visualization, you know, bringing in the divination with the astrology and utilizing the astrology for spell work, for self-empowerment, you know, the developing the oils and the mojo bags, just so many outstanding and phenomenal avenues that you have provided for today. I mean, really, I think that, you know, there's probably, I feel there might be a part two in this episode. What do you think, Brother Christopher?
I could probably think of some other things that I've done to empower myself. I still have a few, like at least two other things that I could talk about, but I think we're almost out of time.
Yeah, we have about roughly 30 seconds for the remainder of this show. But no, I seriously want to thank you for joining us yet again here on the show. You're welcome to come back anytime. Just let us know. But honestly, that's all the time we have for tonight. I hope everyone's enjoyed their time with us this evening. And until next time we meet, let's keep that magic alive. Take us out, Reverend James.
Thank you, Reverend Art, and thank you, Brother Christopher of RuneWorker.com in Long Beach, California, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when we'll be hosting a discussion of our favorite spells. Have a pen and paper ready. You won't want to miss this. We've come to the end of this episode of Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, on the LMC Radio Network. You can find Reverend Art at FolkConjure.com and at FolkConjure on Facebook and Instagram, on the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, on readersandrootworkers.com, and on Hoodoo Psychics. I'm your announcer, Reverend James, joining you from FolkConjure.com in North Carolina. Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archives via mysticsmages.com/radio show and on the Lucky Mojo Forum. For all of us at Mystics and Mages, I'd like to thank you for being here. Be sure to follow at Mystics, Mages, and the Magical Places on Facebook and at Mystics, Mages, Magical Places on Instagram for updates and news. We'll be back next week at the same time. Come sit a spell. Wink, wink. Relax and enjoy the show. We've only just begun. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Thank you, Reverend James. And again, thank you, Brother Christopher. We do hope to see you again soon here on Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places every Monday night here on the LMC Radio Network. To everybody listening, to everybody in the chat, thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you for your support, your love, your laughs. Without you, we wouldn't be here. So until next week, I want to send out a strong blessing of peace, prosperity, abundance, and love to all. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Good night.